Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. It's Wednesday and I'm so thankful that you're with us for this eighth day, actually the third day this week, but the eighth day in our total series on walking through the land of God's promises. And Derek really is tackling some of the most difficult topics that a Christian can deal with, like mental torment, like having a problem child. And today he's going to touch on a topic that is essential for all of us, but has been very controversial in the body of Christ, and that is prosperity. Does God want us to prosper? Does our giving relate in any way to our prosperity? We all know there have been extremes in this. There's been what we call Cadillac faith, people believing that every Christian ought to be driving around in expensive, fancy cars and jewelry. Is that what God wanted? Is there some sort of biblical balance to this? Is the whole idea of prosperity just something that people have read into the Scriptures? Well, let's listen as Derek Prince straightens this out on the basis of God's Word and teaches us on how to walk in the land of God's promises when it comes to prosperity.
Today we're going to look at a promise of prosperity which is absolutely general and all-inclusive in its application. It can be claimed by anyone, anywhere, at any time, who will fulfill the clearly stated conditions. I'm going to repeat that. The promise we're going to look at today is absolutely general and all-inclusive. It can be claimed by anyone, anywhere, at any time, who will fulfill the stated conditions. We're going to turn now to the opening verses of the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. In a certain sense, these verses set the keynote for the whole book of Psalms. In essence, the book of Psalms is a book of praise and thanks to God for the blessedness of being related to Him and knowing Him and walking in His ways. And this blessedness is set forth very clearly right at the opening of the book of Psalms. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Let's look now at the promises. They are really in four sections. The first one, the man who fulfills the conditions will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Firmly planted indicates a tree whose roots go down so deep into the soil that it cannot be shaken or overthrown by winds or storms. So the first picture we have, or the first part of the picture, is of a man who's strong, steadfast, unshakable. He's not moved by adversity or unfavorable circumstances. His roots go down so deep, such things do not shake him or overthrow him. Then it's also stated that his roots go down by the streams of water, so that always his roots have access to water, which of course is conveyed up through the roots into the tree and gives life and health to the whole tree. He's not dependent on just temporary rainfall or temporary shortage of rain, but he's in a place and in a relationship with streams of water that flow continually. And so he derives his supply of water from these streams that do not change with the climate. Then the second part of the picture is that he yields his fruit in season. He's a fruitful person. And God requires fruit in the lives of all of us. He says in the New Testament, every tree which does not bring forth good fruit is going to be cut down and cast into the fire. Here's the secret of yielding good fruit, of meeting God's requirements, of enjoying God's favor and blessing. Thirdly, it says his leaf or his foliage does not wither. The leaf is the part of the tree that shows the most. So I think that picture indicates that such a man presents a picture of prosperity. You look at him and you know that he's flourishing. It's seen in his eyes, in his carriage, in his clothing, in everything. There's just that atmosphere of well-being. And finally, the promise on which we want to dwell most, whatever he does, he prospers. Anything he does, he prospers. He never knows failure. He never knows frustration. He's so completely in line with God's word and God's purposes that everything he does goes through with the blessing of God upon it. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful promise. We've looked at the promises. Now, of course, we've got to look at the conditions. There are five conditions that are stated, three negative and two positive. First of all, we look at the negative conditions. The first one is that such a man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't get his advice and his input from the wrong source. Secondly, the second negative condition, such a man must not stand in the path of sinners. This indicates a different lifestyle and different fellowship. He has a lifestyle that's different and his friends are different. His whole associations are different. Thirdly, he does not sit in the seat of scoffers. The seat of scoffers, to me, indicates an attitude of determined cynicism, a dark, skeptical view of life, which prevails all too often in the world of business today, and which I believe is a sure path to frustration and failure. Notice in these three negative conditions, there's a slowing up process. Such a man begins by walking, then he stands, he ends up sitting. In other words, his position and his situation gets worse and worse as it goes on. Now let's look at the positive conditions. These are twofold. First of all, such a man delights in the law of the Lord. He takes his pleasure in the word of God, in the revelation of God's truth. We need to understand the meaning of the word law, the Hebrew word Torah, which is, of course, familiarly used amongst Jewish people today. We sometimes think of Torah or law as just a set of rules, but it's not that. The root meaning of the word is that which shows the way. The Torah is that revelation of God which shows us the way we ought to live if we desire God's favor and God's blessing. So such a man meditates in that, delights himself in that, and as a result of delighting himself in that, he meditates in it. His thoughts center around it all the time. And in that meditation, he's like the tree that's drawing its water from the streams that flow nearby. He's always drawing new life and new strength and new inspiration. I cannot too much emphasize the importance of right meditation. I believe that really is the key to true prosperity. You cannot think wrong and live right, and you cannot live right and think wrong. In other words, your thinking is going to determine the course of your life. So that's the picture of the man who's like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Whatever he does, prospers.
You know, leave it to Derek Prince to do a teaching on prosperity and yet spend almost the entire first portion of that teaching in Psalm 1 talking about streams of water and fruit being yielded in seasons and leaves not withering. But you know what? That's the whole key. It's about our attitude towards God and being rooted in God's purposes. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
When you need assurance or when fear grips your mind and heart, there is one book of the Bible that speaks most clearly to the needs of the soul, the Psalms. Now, Derek Prince escorts you through these wonderful words of comfort in his classic book, Through the Psalms with Derek Prince. In it, Derek offers his unique personal insights into all the Psalms and provides a helpful index to the scriptures that speak to your specific needs. In writing this book, Derek prayed that the personal meditations he included would stimulate the reader to go far beyond anything that he was able to put into writing. Normally $14.95, listeners of Derek Prince Legacy Radio can order Through the Psalms with Derek Prince for only $9.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Going Through the Psalms with Derek Prince will set you on a course of refreshing discovery. call 800-448-3261 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and I hope you've been with us today as we're talking about prosperity and walking in the promises of God. And now here it comes. Derek's going to talk to us about tithing, that thing that we know is biblical, but we often try to avoid. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about taking hold of the promises of God through tithing.
Today, I'm going to look at some other promises of blessing and prosperity, which have one particular scriptural condition attached to them. The first passage of scripture that we'll look at today is in Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. See, this is an overview of Israel's history. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? That's a specific question that's put in the mouth of Israel. What do you ask of us, God, to return to you? God is very specific in his answer. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? And the answer is clear, in tithes and contributions. So, not to give God his due out of our finances is to rob him. And in specific terms, Israel had been robbing God by withholding their tithes and their contributions. The result, instead of a blessing, was a curse. And I want to point out to you that in most cases, it's one or the other. It's either blessing or curse. There isn't much in between. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience brings curse. So God says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Now God gives them the remedy. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord. And God appoints a way in which he requires Israel to test him. He says, if you'll do what I'm requiring, then you'll see what I will do. Test me thou in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need. Every need is to be met. When God speaks about opening the windows of heaven, it's clear, I think, that the windows of heaven are under God's sole control. We don't have any way to reach up to heaven and open the windows. So that's something that only God can do, and unless God does it, it won't happen. But God says, if you'll do the simple thing on earth that I require of you, if you'll bring all the tithes into the storehouse, then I'll do the thing in heaven that you can't do. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing until there is no more need. Verse 11, then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. So God takes stock. He reviews Israel's history, and he points out to them that they fail to meet his conditions, and so to enjoy his blessings, and he reminds them of one of the great basic conditions which he had laid down, which was that they would bring their tithes and their contributions to him. Let's look at what the blessings are that God promises on this basis. First of all, he says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I've pointed out already that only God can open the windows of heaven. Secondly, I'll rebuke the devourer. Everything that's eating up your prosperity and your health and your well-being, every devouring influence and force, I'll deal with. It won't be able to devour any longer. Thirdly, all the nations will call you blessed. God's people will be a testimony to all other peoples of God's faithfulness. Compare what God says in Haggai chapter 1 to Israel there. Again, essentially, he's rebuking them for the same thing, for not putting him first in their finances. This is what he says. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Have you ever felt that about your money, that all the money you put into your purse somehow slips out through a hole and you didn't get the benefit of it? God says that to Israel, and he says this, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified. God says, do what I require of you and I'll take care of that devourer that's making holes in your purses and eating away your livelihood and your income. Verse 9, you look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Isn't that happening to many in these contemporary days, especially in these days of inflation? We look for much, but it somehow turns to little, and when we get it home, we just can't make it go around. God says there's a reason. You're not putting me first. And as a result, I've called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, on all the labor of your hands. What was the big error that Israel were making, both in the days of Haggai and in the days of Malachi? In essence, it was they were not putting God first in their finances. They were trying to do their own thing. They were looking after number one, as we say, and neglecting God. And as a result, though they worked hard and seemed to be earning sufficient money, they had never enough to go around. Does that sound familiar? Do you meet people like that today? Are you perhaps one of those people? Well, here's God's remedy. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and test me now in this.
Boy, if there's ever a promise we need to hang on to, it's Malachi 3. If we tithe, three things happen. The heavens are opened. Nothing will eat up our prosperity. And everyone will notice God's blessing upon us. The nations, the Bible says, will call us blessed. I want to walk in that. How about you? There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Why, out of an endless number of possible souls, were you born into this earth? What is your destiny? Where can you discover what God has planned for you? In a powerful audio CD by Derek Prince, you can find the answer to these most fundamental questions. It's called God Wrote Your Scenario, and with it, you'll find the key that unlocks the mystery of God's wonderful plans for you. It is mystery that holds not just knowledge that God Himself wrote out the scenario for your life even before you were born, but the ability to discover it and live it out to the fullest. Derek Prince, a man who walked in the fullness of God's plan for his life, will help you discover the plans God has for you and how your life can be filled with meaning and purpose. As our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to Derek Prince Ministries, we'll send you your copy of God Wrote Your Scenario, postage paid. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Call now with your gift of any amount and ask for your copy of Derek's powerful CD, God Wrote Your Scenario. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, where we're talking about tithing and how tithing is a key to taking hold of God's promises. It's certainly not one of the most beloved promises in the Bible, but we still have to hold to it because it's the key to walking in the fullness of God's blessings. Let's listen as Derek teaches us on this critical topic of tithing.
Perhaps I need to explain exactly what a tithe is. It's an old English word for a tenth. A tithe means that we give to God the first tenth of everything that we receive in income. And it's important that it's the first. We set it aside before we do anything else with the rest of our money. God says, bring me the whole tithe, don't cheat about your tithe, and I'll see to your financial and material needs. I'd like to say this, tithing is simple, it's scriptural, it's specific, it's not complicated. Almost anybody can divide by 10. In any monetary system that's a decimal system, it just means moving the decimal point one place to the left. If you earn $320, your tithe is $32. If you earn $514, your tithe is $51.40. It's not difficult. It's simple. It's scriptural. It's specific. And I want to tell you, on the basis of many years of experience, it works. You see, the principle is that we honor God in everything. We put God first, and that includes our finance and our wealth. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine." Notice, we honor the Lord when we put Him first in our finances. Tithing was not instituted under the law of Moses. Many people think it was. Tithing began with Abraham. Here's where it's first mentioned in the Bible, in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, when Abraham had a significant meeting with a man named Melchizedek, who was king of Salem and priest of God. This is what it says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, 'Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.'" That's the blessing that Melchizedek, as God's priest, pronounced on God's servant Abraham. Now notice how Abraham responded to the blessing of his priest Melchizedek. "Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything." So tithing is two things. It's a way to respond to God's blessings, and it's a way to honor God's priest. That's how Abraham first practiced it. And remember that Abraham is the father of all who believe. He's our spiritual father if we're believers, and we're required to walk in the steps of his faith. One of the main steps of his faith was tithing. Hebrews chapter 7 shows that Jesus Christ in the New Testament is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And it also emphasizes that Melchizedek collected a tenth from Abraham as a priest. Hebrews 7:6 says of Melchizedek, "But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them," that's from the Levitical priests, "collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who had the promises." So that tithing is our response to God's blessing. It's the way we honor God. And bear in mind, the tithe is to be brought into the storehouse. What is the storehouse? I think the answer is simple. It's the place from which you obtain your seed, both to eat and to sow. It's the way you acknowledge the source of your supply. And let me put this to you in a little proverb. If you eat in the Holiday Inn, don't pay your bill at Howard Johnson. Acknowledge the source of your spiritual supply with your tithes.
You know, I want to talk just for a few moments about this topic of tithing because it really has become convoluted in our generation. You know, tithing really is not so much about the specific church or organization you're giving to. It's about giving your first fruits to God. And most people get so preoccupied with who they're giving it to and whether it should all go to the church and all of that kind of thing that they don't tithe. I want to tell you that biblically, tithing, giving 10% of your income back to God, recognizing His ownership, recognizing His rulership in your life, is absolutely not only a key to prosperity, but it is one of those areas of obedience we must walk in. I could tell you stories from history by the hour of people who tithe, people who were serious about it, prospered in major ways, knew that their prosperity came from God. And so I want to urge you just to take the first step. You don't have all the questions answered. You don't have, you may not even be totally comfortable maybe with where you're going to church or what ministries you're feeding from, but that really is not the primary issue right now. The primary issue right now is that you make a decision along with your spouse, if you have one, to give 10% of your income to the work of God. As Derek said so sweetly and I think humorously, if you eat in the Holiday Inn, don't pay your bill at Howard Johnson. It's very simple. Pay your tithe where you're feeding and pay 10% and watch God do magnificent things. Well, listen, we'll be talking about this again tomorrow, but that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
To order your own copy of Derek's classic book, Through the Psalms, for the discounted price of only $9.95. Give us a call toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And for your gift of any amount, we'll send you Derek's special CD, God Wrote Your Scenario. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.